being the church. This church on the screens was the church that I grew up in Wanaque, British Columbia, which I don't know if any of you may know where that is. Maple Ridge, the bigger town, but Wanaque. This is the church that introduced me to Jesus, by me a camp. And this is the church that formed my faith as a teenager. And it was a little bit emotional this morning as I was thinking about the youth leaders there. I think Mr. McDougall Morris, we call him Mr. Morris, I think is probably passing away now. And so it's a little bit sad as I think about that. But I think back to the time that Jesus used this church to form me and to keep me all the way in my faith through the teenage years. I never walked away from them, and or any of my life, but especially in teenage years, growing up in a non-Christian home, they were really, my Christian family is really, really neat. The church is plan A. The church is plan A in the heart and mind of Jesus. The greatest mission. There is no plan B. If the church doesn't work, there isn't a backup plan for this world. Though it may be and may have broken parts to it, we can look around the church and the world and go, wow. And there might be, and I say this respectfully, and probably when I get to heaven, it won't matter. But I'm going to have some very clear questions with Jesus, I think. And he may just say to me, Tim, it's done. But I have some questions about what's going on with the church around the world. It may be broken, but instead of complaining about it, I will stand with Jesus to help the church do well. This church and any church that my fingers may touch. I'm committed to Jesus and his church. Are you? I've said this before, and I remind myself again, and I remind us again, that I shudder to think where I would be without the church in my life. I've said this before, and I'll probably say it for the years to come. I shudder to think where I would be if the church was not in my life, including the good parts, the mediocre parts, or the meh parts of the church, and the very bad. God uses all the experience of the church, all of them, every single one of them, for the church and for us as believers. We sometimes have this idea that the church is run by Jesus, so therefore it should be perfect. We're still on earth. And if you want a perfect church, I say this nicely, then don't go there. If you find a perfect church, don't go there, because it will no longer be perfect. Right? But we have this idea that the church has to be perfect. It won't be perfect, but it can be better. And it can be what Jesus wants for this church. And that's why I try to encourage myself that I don't complain about other churches. I don't have a say in that other church. I don't understand what's going in that church or that church. I may hear things about it and I'm going, but I don't really know what's going on. So it's none of my beeswax what's going on in another church. I care about this church. And I pray for that church. Or that, you can't see. I pray for that church lots. Apparently they're still without a pastor. But I pray for some of the churches in my past, but I don't complain. So why does that matter? Why does it matter? Where would you be without the church? Where would you be without the church? church in your life. Without the church in our lives, we would not be who we are individually or corporately. Without the church in your life and my life, we would not be who we are today. And we wouldn't be this church. Because all of us bring everything that we've experienced as a church in our past life, and we bring that all together. And we form this great church. And I mean that. This is a great church. The Thessalonians and the Apostle Paul knew this by experience. That's why the Apostle Paul is writing to that church in that one town. You see, the part of it, there's a little bit of a problem. And it's a good problem. It's not a bad thing. A fish in the sea knows nothing but the sea. Duh, Tim. Like, that's right. But if you think about it, the fish swims around in the sea or the lake or wherever the fish would be, and that's all they know. A bear walks around in the forest. I'm not talking about zoos, I'm talking about forests. And all they know is the forest. And the trees. And humans to chase. But that's what all they know. One of our teenagers in this church has an iguana. You can figure out who that is you need to talk to him about it. When he's talking about it, I've got to get over there to see it. And all this iguana knows is this fabulous enclosure that him and his dad are building for this iguana. But the sea or the lakes are safe for the fish. Except for those people who are fishing. The bear is safe within the forest. That's where he lives, unless you go bear hunting. Ooh. No, just kidding. And this iguana is safe within this enclosure. And it is my purpose and goal that the church, maybe that's all we know, but that the church would be that safe place for us to be in. So we go to 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 5. Go back to verse 11. I talked about it last week. And he's talking about the first verses before. He's talking about Jesus coming back and how we'll live for him forever, live with him forever. But then verse 11, he says, now encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing. He wants us, he's encouraging Thessalonica and the church to gather there, and he's encouraging us to build up each other. That's what he's saying. Build each other up. Jesus is coming back, so let's keep going. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 and 27, which you can read on the screen, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. I'll flag this verse in a Voice of the Martyrs Canada email that was sent out in the last couple weeks. And this is what Floyd Ball, the executive director of Voice of the Martyrs, writes. In 1 Corinthians 12, 26, the Apostle Paul provides a powerful message about Christian unity, emphasizing that our collective strength lies in the ability to support and uplift one another. If one member suffers, we all suffer together. If one member is honored, we rejoice together. Although Christians are separated geographically throughout the world, We are collectively all part of one vast global church. Unfortunately, in North America or in the Western world, however you want to talk about it, Christians have become so individualistic. It's me and Jesus. Worship leaders, you'll know how a lot of our worship songs talk about me and Jesus instead of us and we. Our faith is we. If we're one part, we're all together. Our faith is all together. This is reflected in the Apostle Creed, he goes on to say, though which Christians declare their faith in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, which is, and the Communion of Saints, and the Catholic means literally the universal, it's not the Catholic, it's the universal church in the Apostles' Creed. This historical definition, pointing to the essential unity and wholeness of the church in Christ. Therefore, the Creed confirms the wholeness of the entire church, spanning across all times and places, rather than a specific brand of Christianity. In a few weeks, we're going to be gathering together as all the churches in Rosenort, and we're going to be at the Rosenort Festival. We'll be having our Sunday morning service at the Westfield Park. And all our churches, all of us will be together, as we have been for many years. And it's a great time to all be together. We meet separately on Sunday mornings, but that morning we're all going to be together. And then we need to realize that as we meet, all kinds of churches across Manitoba are meeting at the same time. There's a globalness to it. Across Canada, we're all meeting Sunday morning. Around the world, we're all meeting Sunday morning according to time change and all of that. But there's a global church. We're all together. We're not the only church. Did you know that? We're not the only church. We're one of millions of churches. I don't know if I'm just pulling the number out of that. I don't know how many there are. I would add that we span across any specific brand of church or theology or any individually of Christianity. We are a local body within the global body of Christ on the earth. So now let's go into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 12. Now I'm going to read through it, and then I'm going to pick it apart as we go through. Dear brothers and sisters, you know that. Honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, you know that. We urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See to it that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Jumping down a verse or a couple of verses, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good, and stay away from every kind of evil. Now, I skipped a couple of verses because my son-in-law, John, will speak on those verses in a couple of weeks. And Todd is speaking next week on Ecclesiastes. But look at these verses. Now, most expository preachers would take, and I was thinking about it, I'm going to take all the way till the end of summer and go one verse at a time. I had it all planned out. I nixed it. Because I realized, and I believe the Holy Spirit was showing me, he goes, this all works together. Don't pick it apart. It all works together. That's how we all work together. All of us together are doing all these things. So go back to verse 12. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. Now he talks about leaders. Yes, that includes me. That includes Carol. That includes Rachel. That includes Ray Waldner. That includes Brandy Siemens. That includes Kevin and Becky Friesen. Did I get them all? We meet every week, every month, and I'm going, I got them all. They are our leaders. They work hard. I really appreciate this leadership team. I really appreciate their wisdom. Some of the things we've had to work through and discuss and maybe get a little bit upset at each other, we work through it. And we come to a consensus and agreement of what we believe God wants to do. That's our job as leaders. And that's why he's saying encourage them, and he says, and live peacefully with each other. Live peacefully. So as leaders, we want to live peacefully. We want to grow this church and encourage this church and support this church so it can be all that God wants it to be. Now, here's the thing. What happens, this isn't in my notes. I've been in Christian ministry and pastoral ministry long enough to know that sometimes people don't like the leadership. Anyone ever experienced that? It happens, right? Because sometimes we'll make decisions or choices or whatever. What do you do when leadership does something you're questioning or you're not sure? The first thing you do is you pray. You don't talk to anyone. You don't gossip to anyone. You don't complain to anyone. You pray. How long? For 1 year. I'm kidding. You pray for a couple of weeks about that, whatever it is that upsets you. Whatever it is that upsets me. I sometimes go, man, why can't we do better in this? And I don't go complaining. I don't send off WhatsApp texts to the leader. Well, I have and I've had to retract them. I pray about it first. Because who's in charge, actually? Who's in charge? It's not the squirrel. It's Jesus. Jesus is in charge. And so I complain, I talk, I whine, and then I submit to Jesus. Jesus, what do you want in that issue? What is it you're trying to do? And you pray, I pray about those things for a number of weeks before, and I'm saying weeks, before I complain or talk or do anything. And then I read another Bible verse that says, do not complain. Okay, so then I don't complain. Then you talk to the person in leadership that you can talk to and say, can I talk about this issue? I'm a little bit concerned about this. Can I share what I'm thinking? And we'll listen. And we'll talk. And we'll converse. And we'll try to figure it out. That's how it works. And that's why I didn't want to take these verses and spend a whole message on it, because it moves on again to the next verse. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. And we're a family. We're all trying to make this happen. Can you imagine an organization that doesn't have a leader? Every organization has to have a leader. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take care of those who are weak. Be patient for everyone. So I tried to dive into the New Testament Greek on these verses. Do you know what it says? Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak and be patient with everyone. Exactly what it says in English. It's not complicated. We're brothers and sisters. Is there anyone? Don't put up your hand. Or is there anyone that's lazy? Can we come alongside, Lord? Can we help you? Is anyone timid? Let's encourage you. Let's help you. Anyone who's weak? We'll all go through different times when we're weak. We come along and help. And then sometimes some of those people, they need some patience. You know the one prayer to never pray? Lord, give me patience. Don't pray that. Because it'll just, yeah. Think that through. You don't want to pray for patience. Okay? So it goes on. This is what we do as a body. We encourage each other. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good, and those are two groups. Do good to each other and to all people. Wherever you work, wherever you shop, wherever you do recreation, do good to all people. And then it goes on, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful. That's in a couple weeks. And then the next verse. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Now, let me throw that in. The Holy Spirit must and has to be a part of this church. Too many churches talk about Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus. We also include, there's a Trinity called the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I often pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I know, for many people is scary. And I can do a whole message on this, but I'll wait till another time and talk more about that. But sometimes the Holy Spirit and what he does can be scary. It says, don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't scoff at prophecies. They happen today. People have prophetic gifts. But you test everything that is said, and you hold on to what is good. You hold on to what is good. And you stay away from every kind of evil. Now that's what we do as a church. That's how we live together as a church. How are we doing as the Rosenort Community Church in these areas? Are we a body of Christ? Are we a family? Are we brothers and sisters? So application. So we can work on this next week. To think about, what am I good at doing for the sake of the church? What am I already doing well in the church? In these areas in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What am I doing well? What can I work on? What can I be better at? How can I improve? Where can I help? And then pray for one church from your past, as I prayed for my church, Wildwood Fellowship Church in Warner, British Columbia, this morning, and will this week. Pick one church that you've been a part of and pray for them. Why does it matter? We all need the church. Where would we be without the church? I shudder to think. I love the Message translation of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left out. No one left behind. I know you're already doing that, church. Just keep doing it. So around the table, so instead of me closing in prayer, and then Cody and Scott will come and lead us and close us off. Around the tables, just say a prayer for each other. One or two people just lead out and just pray for each other around the table. And then you guys can close the service.